Welcome to Hands at the Table. I'm your co-host, Jeff Bramhall. Alongside fellow massage therapist, Boris Aranyi, this podcast shows massage therapists how powerful our profession can be. We believe that as a craft and as a profession, massage therapy is only limited by a therapist's imagination and willingness to put in the work. By sharing what we're learning, what we're working on, and what's captured our interest, we hope to broaden your perspective, inspire you to set your standard high, and invest in your craft. Thank you for joining us.
Hello all, welcome back to another solo episode on Hands on a Table. Today again with me this week, and we promise we are going to get together for the next weeks. What I wanted to talk about today is a case study that I wanted to share, and not even the specific details of the case study, but just my thought process behind it. So I have this client who has a very active lifestyle, has been working out or training or doing some kind of sports his whole life. And even now he's very active. He works out. He works as a personal trainer. He has a couple of medical history details that are important in his care right now. But mainly what I wanted to share is how I'm treating him and why I do what I do. So first we got together for workouts, and he found me on Instagram through the PRI, some of the PRI posts that I did. And we started working together with some of the PRI concepts, and that's the system that I work with. I really like those concepts. I really like the system. But I also sprinkle in like all the other classes, all the other knowledge that I gained throughout the year. So it's basically first I kind of like see where people are coming from. So he found me through PRI. So of course we're going to start with PRI. But when he talks about his medical issues and past histories and everything that happened to him throughout his life so far, immediately a bunch of other things come in. So next to PRI, we're doing manual therapy, because some of those things cannot be changed by workouts and cannot be changed by breathing. And some of those things just need manual touch. And then I'm also thinking about the emotional, psychological side of things. So I'm also thinking about trauma healing later on down the line. At least it's kind of like a little, you know, I put like a little pin in those notes when I hear the story. So we started with a PRI, and I wrote him a program, and now we're going back, getting on to the manual side of things. So we had our first session together, and my main focus is in some of these cases is the introduction of a different type of manual therapy, is an introduction or making everybody feel comfortable with the techniques that I use, making it known like why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's really good to work with him because he asks a lot of questions, but also it is also hard sometimes because it takes up a lot of time to kind of explain everything versus just being in the flow, which I also think that's part of the healing process, but that comes later. So the first couple of times I usually answer all the questions and go into details a little bit every time, a little bit more every time. And sometimes I'm just like, okay, let's get onto the flow, because sometimes you just need to feel things out versus trying to understand them. And that kind of like goes as a big blanket, a big overarching principle with this person, is that we need a little bit more feeling and a little bit less thinking. And also like this is where other techniques come in. Like sometimes this PRI and some of the smart neurosomatic educators, like the orthopedic techniques or the sports techniques, are really good, but they're very brainy. They're very cognitive. You kind of have to like understand, or not have to, but you want to understand what's happening. Whereas sometimes when somebody's getting lost in the meaning, they lose on the side of the feeling. So sometimes the manual therapy, when I bump into somebody, this brain and nerd person, then sometimes my manual therapy's point is to kind of shift them into this feeling, presence, really just sensation world that they might not spend enough time in, and kind of like calm down their nervous system, bring it down from the sympathetic to the parasympathetic side, and then have them relax a little bit, literally just turn their brain off for a while. And this is where kind of like the energy work and some of the trauma healing techniques or principles come in to make the nervous system feel more comfortable. And at this point, I'm not talking to their brain. I'm not talking to their cognitive function. I'm not trying to convince them to feel safe. I just make the environment, I just set up everything as much as possible for the success of this shift. So we started working with the manual therapy. Some of it is actually more on the sensory side, because the other overarching principle or other over blanket that kind of like comes through his case is that some of these things, when we have a posture, when we have habits, when we have previous medical history or medical trauma or emotional, physical, any of those lines, and when we sometimes like look at somebody and we try to fix, like in the PRI concept, we try to fix like pelvis, thorax, and cranium on top of each other, sometimes what happens is that everything that we do is working and it stays for a couple of hours. And that's what he reports when he does his homework. It stays for a couple of hours, but after that, it starts coming back. And one of the reasons why this could happen is because he has some kind of upper, so meaning upper sensory input that's hindering these results, meaning vision, hearing, the bite, the higher, like the occipital muscles, all those little muscles that kind of level out the head. So all of those things play into role, like the cranial tension, the dorsal tension, everything that runs down the spinal cord, like all of those things that run a little bit deeper and higher up than pelvis, thorax, neck kind of deal. So with the, in this case, we really have to look into the bite. We know that we have to look into cranial tension. We'll have to look at the neck in more details, because that's where the devil's in the details, right? So that's where this case is going to lay. I think the success and the breakthrough of this case will lay in those regions, which is good because you only can get to those places with manual therapy. So we do intraoral work. We're going to go through the eyes, eye muscles. We're going to do a lot of repositioning in the neck, a lot of counter strain techniques on the neck that I use from the neurosomatic educators. And those are very, very beneficial because you can just really like reposition vertebrae by vertebrae, let it be translation or rotation or a tilt. And then we're also going to look into the cranial bones. So some of the temporal bones need to shift into this in this case, and open up the brain a little bit more space, open up a head, open up the TMJ region, everything in the neck, everything around the SCM, those real high up cervicals, like C1, 2, 3 kind of. So we're definitely going to look into that. I think the cranial work is very beneficial and it feels very, very good, especially if somebody has cranial tension. Once that relieved is a game changer. Same thing with the TMJ, like those, like the muscles of the bite and speech, those ones, like the release of those muscles can be very, very relaxing and very, it can bring on a huge shift in this neurosympathetic, like parasympathetic drive. It can help very, very much how we sense our insides, how we sense our emotions, our stress level, our internal flexions and stresses that happen inside our body that we don't even notice because they happen so much under the cognitive functions that we don't realize until they're kind of like dissipated and we feel that shift. So in this case, we're basically coming in from the body, from the brain, from the cognitive functions, from understanding, from meaning, and we're slowly going towards the softer scales, like the feeling, sensation, the internal sensations, shifting the nervous system, shifting the neck. Those little neck muscles can bring on a huge change. Internal jaw muscles, the eye, and everything. We're going to give the nervous system every safety that we can to kind of like make these changes stick. Basically, what happens with the body is that we want to make sure that once that shift has a space to happen, it has a pelvis and a thorax to sit on, that neck has some stability, has some space to move into. Same thing with the pelvis and the thorax. Like, we want to put those under. We can't put a head or a neck on a body that's not even or unbalanced or just torqued and tense all around. So I think it's a good way to go in. I would not choose it to do it any other way. I would always go from the same thing when we do it with the massage. You go from the superficial big muscles, you go deeper. We're going to go from the superficial bigger structures to the smaller structures, because I need those big structures to be stable and okay and have enough internal flexibility and freedom to move under the head once the head is ready to move and ready to shift. So it's a very interesting case. I'm going to check back in a couple of months, probably, once we get to places. Mainly what my measurement will be is the ease of breath and pain-free breath that we're going to work towards. And once we have that, that's when we can kind of like fine-tune everything after that, just to make sure that, you know, the baseline is healthy and we can breathe and we can sleep and we can eat and we can move. And once we have that, we can really get after our any other goals that he might have, let it be strength or variability or movement or anything alike. Very interesting case. I think it makes my brain work really well. And since he's asking a lot of questions, I have to always think about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and try to translate everything into Hungarian, which is still the biggest biggest challenge. Going from learning everything in English to translating it into Hungarian is very, very hard. So, but he's helping me with a lot with that a lot, because he also works in the health and fitness industry. So it's working really good. So I will check back on that in a couple of months, probably. Stay tuned. And then next week, we're going to come back together with Jeff. We're going to sit down this week and really, really, you know, just reconnect with each other and do the same thing for ourselves. Like, after the body, we're going to have to connect with our minds and emotions and feelings as well. So I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a good recharge. So thank you for listening. If you have any questions about any of the concepts or techniques that I'm using, let me know. Just send us an email or chat under our Instagram. So thank you guys for listening, and see you all next week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode of Hands at the Table. If you got something out of this episode, have comments or topics you'd like us to cover, please let us know by tagging us on Instagram. Bori is at @restore_revive_therapy, and Jeff is at @justbreathemanualtherapy. We would also appreciate if you can take a minute to leave us a rating, like, or review wherever you listen. It'll help other people find us. We'll see you next week.